The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busui Olabode, who believes you will be richly blessed.
God, you just wonder what was in the mind of Peter when he said, "There is no other name given among men by which we can be saved." He was not looking at that very time to speak. He was thinking about times to come. For the next millions of years, if Jesus is not coming in the way we know He's coming, He's still going to be the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. With whatever civilization emerged from the earth here, it remains the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. What a blessed Lord for this allocation we have this 3 days meeting. It's beautiful, beautiful. We have great trust for blessings from above. Amen. A remain has been on for 4 years. My God. It looked like just 2 days. We want to bless the Lord for remain. 4 years ago, the Lord gave us that expressly, defining what kind of man should be on the earth here. It's a real man, lives Zoe. So it's not every man on the earth is real. Some are fake men. When you are talking about men, they are not men. When you hear the man, Christ Jesus, that's a pattern man. The man, not a man, the man. Christ Jesus. When you raise that man, other men disappear. So real men exist, amen. I said, real men exist. And God is raising real, real men, real men. In the past 4 years, it's beautiful. We have gone through a lot of moments together. I want to say men in the house here. I want to say male men in the house here. It's just from what stage? From whom? Since we need wisdom, Fanwell, we've been relating with them as men. Amen. Praise God. Before they were born, so I knew thee. So we knew them there. Praise God. Through the instrumentality of, what do you call it now? Scan. Scan showed us that are made men. So from them, we're going to say, made men. This is a man, this is a real man. And see, when they go to gray with their friends like you and I, they're going to be real men. Praise God. Real men. I love that name. I just came across somewhere in Lagos. I just saw their program there. Real men. I said, wow. So the spirit is just doing the same thing here and there. This time for real men to be raised. It's a season for real men to appear on the earth. Hallelujah. And it's nice to just find your faces appearing in this. And like I said, actually speaking, when you say men, it's male and female. He made them male and female. And that's why we are glad that we have the females, the women around us today, or the feminine. I don't like using women too much. Praise God. And you know my reason for it? Not for today, you know my reason for it. I think you know my reason for it. Don't know it? Don't you know it? You should know it now. Okay, so we want to welcome the feminine in the house here today. Come on, give them a big hand. Give them a big hand. If you're a female man, stand on your feet. We want to celebrate you in the house today. Yes, nice to have your faces in the house. From the smallest piece to the oldest mama. Hallelujah! And we love you. You're welcome. We love you dearly. It's nice to see your faces. You let me have your seat. When we have it in the house there, it's for everybody. And just one section, just project it. If it's seminar meeting, it's for all of us. Was it January we had, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Since then, we have been increasing. Amen. We have been increasing and we're going to break forth in multiplication. that will obey it will be fruitful, then will multiply. Will not rush to multiply. Hallelujah. And we do what? We multiply. Hallelujah. So by God's grace, these 3 days, let's just see how the theme came expressly. Expressly. This theme came expressly. And when I came, I know that something heated me. I couldn't turn, it was just express. So I know that there are matters in this matter. I say, I know there are matters in this matter. We obtain mercy to get the matter in this matter. Mercy of Jesus. And to bring salvation to us. Mercy of Jesus. Please, Lord, we trust you for the matter in this matter. We receive in these 3 days in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we're going to trust God that other ministers are going to join us in this theme. Our themes are always difficult themes. Hallelujah. More than a breadwinner. It looks so simple in the scriptures. What are we going to be looking at in this matter? More than a breadwinner. I have a lot of concern because we are in a day when things is going to be redefined. In fact, it's being redefined to me every day. I keep wondering, I say, what's happening? Things have to be redefined again because God is going to create things on the earth for us that will force us to look at it again. The things we thought we knew in this book, we're going to look at them again because even we eat our attention back to them. It's creating a conflict everywhere so we can look more into the perfect law of liberty and find grace to continue therein. There's anything you say will be a breadwinner. No, it's so clear. The breadwinner is somebody who is just going to get the household satisfied with food, with basics of life. And that thin bread there is summarized together in which encompasses all the basics and the necessities of life. When you just rest, labor not for the bread. It's not just talking about the food in your mouth alone. Everything about man's sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread. There are things that pertain to this day, sustenance. And you know that, historically speaking, that is the major work of the male man. When you see a man that stands like this, when he shares a report, it's summarized in the fact that you are raised on earth in life to meet the basic necessities of life. Let me start by asking us, how many of you here knows that you should be married by now? Let me just see your hand. You are a male man here. You know in your heart you should have been married. Raise up your hand. Let me see you. Sincerely do that. Sincerely. Okay. No, wait. You know, you are in the face of Yahweh and you don't know when they will look at your matter. Hello? You don't know when they will look at your matter. Maybe tonight is when they want to look at your matter. Praise God. I thought that this means it will be as very simple. I believe so much because there are realities that should be imparted. Yeah. I trust God for simplicity and so much of practicality to unveil the word of God and see what God has in stock for us in this meeting. Praise God. Sincerely, I'm just asking, you just know yourself that even 2 or 3 years ago, if they remove issue of money from your matter, you should be married. Let me see your hand. Sincerely do that, if you know in your heart that if they remove money matter from your case. Okay, stand on your feet to be sincere enough. If you know you are lying, you are sincere. Stand on your feet, you know you are lying. Your conscience tells you are lying. Okay, while you are still standing, keep standing. Okay, if you were married, and you knew in your heart that even if I owe you money, you'd have married before you married. Let me see your hand. Keep standing. You were married, but you know that supposedly money really came earlier enough. You should have married before that, that time you got married. Let me see. You stand up on your feet. Okay. Population is increasing. Okay. If not for schooling, even for schooling and money, You have married. Let me see your hand. Ah. Population is increasing there. Who is joining it? Okay. Those who are married, in your heart, it was the time you pray to marry, you marry. Let me see your hand. It was exact. It was the exact time. Okay. Right. All of us sit down. That's okay. We're going somewhere. In any of the responses we have, one thing is clear there in all the responses, that even if you did not get married because you didn't have what it takes, many of us, if you have the right orientation, would have married earlier. For many of us, it was people who pushed you into it. Because never believed that you could handle it. Baba, what did Baba? Baba, kill us now. Baba, I stand in a state your heart will break. Historically, with man, that job has been assigned to the male man, and most of the time is what determines how responsible a male man is. What makes you feel now I'm ready is because you are at a stage where you can earn at least enough to take care of your mouth and one other person. And for the female man, there's always one thing in their mind, that when I get married, my husband should be able, if at all he can buy a mansion, he should be able to provide. That thing has been written. It's a code that has been placed in the man's system that consciously or consciously controls him. So if he says, I'm ready, it's one of those things that inform him. You know, when you say, I feel the time now, is the time you pray? Something informed that time you prayed or desire. Amen. When we look at the first instance of marriage in scriptures, God gave them a disclip. Are we right together? And when they came out, he didn't say, I'm ready or I'm fit. He said, this is now the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Something different informed Adam. That sheep was not in Adam. How did God make a being like that didn't carry that sheep that controls every other man today? And I've discovered that principle is failing, and God is allowing it to fail in the days we're in because there's need to question some things that has controlled us for many years. I have a sister who got married to a banker in the year 1993. Yeah, 1993. I think 3 months after their marriage, the husband lost his job. And I believe strongly that if the man lost his job before that marriage, my sister may not consent. So if he says, I love you, I know she loves you, but something is aiding the love. There's a catalyst that makes that speaks of the reaction. I'm not removing the fact that he loves you, but something may question the love if that catalyst is not there. And if somebody else show up 6 months after with that catalyst, there may be a need to reconsider, and God will be in the marriage. It's still God saying that I think this thing is going this way. I just like to create background for when the thought hit me, what the background began to ask me about. So it's true love, but something is aiding that love. And something is making the male man every day to take steps, not because he loves to do it. There is a program that is making him do what he does, that may never allow him to do something otherwise, even though if he loves God. So the issue of the assignment of bread must be looked at very well. I don't know how many marriage services we have attended. And I say, if a man does not provide for his house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. That assault your own infidel. Babalawo. His case is worse than a baba. Give me that scripture, 1 Timothy. Let's start cracking gradually this morning, this evening, before we go to the real matter. Amen. But the background is essential. 1 Timothy, is it 5? Yes, 5. Check 5. But if any, I just open the scripture and said, if any. But this scripture has been forced into the main masses. I don't know when. Is it your own Bible? Hello here. If any, provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house. He had denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. How did they program it to my being, that my wife's being? The Bible was coming to all of us to read. If any, it is if any brother, if any, provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. So, there's need for provision for a household. That is clear. Is that not true? Hello with me. The house must be provided for, and it's one of the duties of man, when I say man, of humanity, male and female, to provide for his own house. Because when you take a job that is lesser than a real job, you have a sense of fulfillment. You were saying something the other time. Every man that can conquer this part has a feeling that he has done so much. You can travel. My wife asked for a long time we were married. He was wondering, what kind of a man is this one? When I travel, I come back, I don't buy bread. I think my children just got used to it over time that when I'm coming back, they're not expecting anything. So when they see, they just, oh, wow, what happened today? Now, I'm not trying to say that is very good. I'm just saying that somewhere it doesn't just appear. It doesn't. If you travel with me on the road, you can hunger throughout the day. These days, I'm adjusting gradually. And I've really improved. Oh, I was coming from Milan last time. I stopped and we buy things. You can clap for me, but now, doing that, actually, it's not that I'm not trying to fulfill that scripture. I just do that. But I'm just saying, over time, God just raised me to break that code. You know, if you get back from the journey and you load your car boot with all kind of real man. You know, the real man thing. And I am somewhere, there's a oya somewhere. There is a plantain somewhere. There is a, what are those things? Snails, okay, you know. All that, you know. How much is that? 10,000. Put it in my boot. No, my boot. How much is that? 10,000. That's oya. Put it there. When you get back home and your wife opens the boot, it just smiles. And you know, your husband just feels. You feel you've done something serious that if the next day is asking for something, you just feel like, kilo to work. What is wrong with you people? I have done everything. Because something in you is fulfilled by doing it. So if you have an husband who is not doing that, a foolish woman can even do much worse. Oh, right. So, Oribaba. Amen. I went to the house, please. Can't you see your friend? When he's coming back up, you don't know what he does. He said, I don't know. Go and learn from him. Because even some women can get a point of Olowori. Ah, Akane. You know, if you're a Yoruba person, the kiki will be flowing. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a saying that my husband is husband indeed. I have a problem because I'm trying to search out this code. Okay, this is another version. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the faith, the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Okay, go and check the verses before it. Check verses before it. Verse 5, okay. Check 5. Now a true widow, a woman who is truly alone in this world, has placed her hope in God. She prays night and day, asking God for his help. But the widow who lives only for pleasure is spiritually dead, even while she lives. Give these instructions to the church, not to men, to the church, so that no one will be open to criticism. But those who won't care, can you see that? Those who won't care. So, hello with me. Taking care of people is part of what you be in every man, every person. So I was telling the story about my sister. The husband lost the job. And for many years after, he didn't get the kind of job that gave that macho, you know that macho thing? That when you're coming back from work, you expect someone to carry your bag. No, you expect some respect because of that. You expect some honor, and if your in-law is there also, the way they will carry you. So the day you drop from that thing, something drops from your life. Amen. And you will try to reclaim it back by all means. And that is one reason why many male will not marry until they feel in themselves that that place is taken care of. So even if you say, I'm not a breadwinner, I'm not arguing your confession. But I'm saying there's a code in you that responds to that lie, that praise, that sense. Something in you has been programmed that except ever reprogram it, you can't braggado out of it. It's a thing that is bigger than you. And because it's bigger than you, it's a major warfare against the cause of eternal life. Hallelujah. It's a major, major issue against the cause of eternal life. For many of us, when you actually finally got married, you just told yourself, you know, not because you are competent in the manner you are taking before, huh? You fell short of it, but somewhere there you just told yourself, I ain't gonna die in this thing now. Oh, guys, just encourage you, boy, everything will be okay, you know. And I say, will it be okay? You are looking at your back, it's gonna be okay. You're not sure it's gonna be okay, because that is the way you see yourself. That is the way the world sees you. And it's easy for you to see yourself. Otherwise, if you have seen yourself in a way, and the world has seen you in a way, that is who you are. That is who you are. Let's check that same place, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, let's read verse 6. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of the world. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Why is he talking this way? So it means that God wants us to have food, along with me, and also have raiment. And you know, raiment in the 21st century, you know, what is a raiment? Raiment includes your house, it includes your car, as a raiment, your clothing. Praise God. So what is called raiment there, it has been defined large. So having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So God knows that you need food and you need raiment. Is that not true? Matthew 6 says that also. Jesus said, do not take thought for your life. What you will eat, what you will put on. Your father knows that you have the need of those things. So he was not talking to a male man or a female man. Who is he talking to? Man. He was talking to man. There's a thinking that should be in every man. Ladies are not more disappointed because they always have a sense in them that a man is there for them. And most of the time, he's not there. So when you get married or you see the man, you are valuing the man based on how he can provide for you. That assessment is not true. Because no man can actually provide for you. There's a way your father wants to think that will bring you salvation and not disappointment. It's not a world of irresponsibility. It's a world of reality. Honestly, workers have not collected salary for how many months now? 6 months. Or should say how many months? They're not counting it again. They have lost count. Once it was 1 year, they stopped counting. Okay? And I know they are praying there. Their pastors are praying. And I'm no more anointed than their pastors. So I'm just saying that even if we pray, it may not still happen. You don't let that kind of church. And when they pray, nothing will happen. But it's real. It's true. It's about Baladura. Oh, Tenu Bejeni, say. What we just let me try? What we not will do? It's a lie. That's why we pray first of all for communion. If you are praying for answers, you'll be disappointed. So why we pray is not first of all to get something, it's for communion. If your prayer is built around receiving, you'll be a sorrowful Christian. So they pray But it's like that. So you can have a system in which for 4 or 5 months the man is not earning, for 1 year is not earning. Is he being a breadwinner in the house? Is he winning bread? He has fallen short of that standard. He's not winning anything. Not because he's not working, or he doesn't know how to work. It's not that he's lazy. But things are not just working like that. But there was a time on earth which a man can guarantee his future. Are we right? Well, he has his farm, he has his whatever. And in those days on earth here, women do nothing. All they do is to rear children. And when they have visitors, the women go out and prepare a good dish. You know, just prepare a kid like Sarah for the Lord when he came around. And the kid was, just a kid was dressed. You love those days, eh? A old goat. You have a visitor. Just get a goat and dress it, and you eat a goat. No, it's a festival. It's not a festival. That's how they live their life then. I mean, you can plan for your future. How many flocks you have, and it's secured. But God is allowing a day to come that cannot guarantee you any security. And it is a day that Christians are living, and it's not changing the day because there's a reality. There's a security that must die. There's something about you that has been programmed by death in you that heaven will allow to die. Can you see that? So he has to allow a king to reign in the days. So if the king is reigning, the king reigning is the king of insecurity, financial insecurity, job insecurity. As that's the king reigning, and God allowed the king to reign. So God knows that there are needs on earth, and is not trying to make us feel away from it. Are we together? It's not trying to make us feel the Christian, you don't need us. No, you need them. In fact, in Matthew 6, and yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Your father is talking about Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, he will clothe you, O your little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of for it, the things of itself. So unto the day is the heir of. There's a verse I'm looking for. It will say, God, your Father thinks much more. I like that word, much more. Verse 30, okay, church, verse 30, please. Verse 30. Okay, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not, yes, I like that. Shall he not much more clothe you? Much more clothe you. Oh, you have little faith. He was talking about Solomon is glory. It's natural clothing. How God just is clothed. And your Father will much more. So God is not trying to tell us to think in a manner that I don't really need good clothes. You need good clothes. I say you need good clothes. You need beautiful clothes. You need nice clothes. But that's a way some Christians think to escape the need of the hour. The prayer of the hour, it is true. You must learn to be contented with what you have. Am I with you? But it's not trying to remove the thinking of something good from you. You should like good clothes. You should not pretend. You should not pretend. It's unspiritual to pretend to someone is good clothes and say, no, that is worldly. What is worldly about it? I went in the house, please. If it's fine, it's really fine. If it's bad, it should be that it's exposing something that's not okay. You know what I'm saying? There should be a reason why it's not good. It's not a cost that should make it bad. In any way, you can have a clothes that's not too expensive and it's looking very good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to put price to be the reason why you should get it. I'm only saying that you should not deny that some things are good. And your Father wants not to give it, wants you to have it. Because we came from a movement in which you feel that when you look careless, it shows how spiritual you are. Okay? And there's a nice thing that thinks that is how much expensive what they wear that makes them feel more blessed. But in your mentality, there must not be that mediocrity in your mentality. You know what I'm talking about now? That sense of self-defeat, of complex. This is beautiful. But you can have When you think about the man, it means that when a man buys a good clothes for you, he loves you. It's not true. For what he wants, he can put everything he has together just to do that. And because the thing is flowing from the two of us here and there, we just get used to it. You try to impress all the time, you get a feedback, you get a result back from it. So we can be a people of eternal life. Yeah, this is a play on here and there among us. I have the life of Jesus. I want life. This is true. These are working against it. They are against because you have to answer to them because they are demanding for answers from you. Your Father cares about all of us. Your Father wants all of us to have a sense of value. That wants you to have a sense of responsibility, not because you are a female, because you are a man. Some years back, we had a series of teaching on Ephesians 4. Yeah, is it 4:28? What's that scripture? You should know it off heart. Let him extol, steal no more, but rather let him labor. Let him is not a gender thing. It's not gender. It's gender. Let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. God wants every one of us to think in that way, that your life is a blessing, than thinking at how you will wear. Though he cares about what you will wear. But as a believer, you should be upgraded. Your thinking should be upgraded beyond thinking about how you will take care of yourself. How will I survive? Are you thinking about how your people, how your generation will survive? How you will survive? Why you are holding on? Is it because of life? How a people, generation will survive? So that thing that gives you fair is within yourself and your sustenance. And that's not gender. It's about every. Let him. So God's you to walk into us. So I want to touch on things that are the basis of our. People know that when you work hard, it's the fall. You see, when there's no grace, you work hard. So we're people of eternal life. We don't work hard. We just enjoy grace. Working hard also is a grace. Are we in the house together, please? It's a grace to labor. Paul said, I labor than them all. And it's grace that is making me to labor. So laziness has no place in the path of life. Every day I look into the law of life. And I can't find anything there that looks like laziness. I can't see it. All of them, they are those who labor. Jesus labored from childhood, labored throughout. Labor, hard work, work. And I say to us that we also must understand that the path does not exempt you from labor. It's not the cause. I will get there. It's not a cause. Tonight I want to open to what is called cause. I say the path of eternal labor is from hard work, diligence, hard work. A man that has diligentness, that man, and it's the one that will stand and be rated as what and what. It's not because he can provide bread. He's gent. There's dignity in labor. Work, work is not wrong. It's not fall. If God said, dress it and keep it. You just wake up and do nothing with that. I feel in my heart that there are some misunderstanding and misconception in this whole whatever that needs to be straightened out. That is not commensurate to how much of life you get. That is the days you were doing nothing. How much of life did you acquire? It does not make you have more life. Also understood that. Even understand revelation. Put your hands waiting for it. Yes. It's work. Because it's not you that bring it. So I want us to know that both male and female, you must learn to be hardworking. Hardworking. Work hard. But let him labor. Then labor. Now he wants you to be there. In this manner, because it is too hard. I perceive. That perception is laziness. You don't get master of anything in life without nothing that is comes good without labor. If it comes cheap, everybody will have it. And nobody pays good for what is common. Yeah. It's what is what others will dare not go into. And it could be a real thing, men will put value on it. So it's not for everybody. So I want us to know that God made us male and to labor. Let us labor with his hands. Working things that is excellent. The word good is excellent. People pay price. They pay well for what is excellent, not what is average. Now, their mindset God is putting there, not because a man wants to achieve the part that is now winning bread. Because it's living life as it ought to live. That's who you are. How many ladies will say, my husband, I discover that you are skillful. You are hardworking. Though you are not earning now, but I am happy with the way you are. Excellence. We don't look for it. We look for a shortcut. What works? What works, yeah? Will it bring money fast? That's why Nigerians are like fat. Nigerians are special breed across the world. You won't find Nigerians in anything that don't bring money. Are we right? Money, how much? How much? That's the first bargain. How much? If it's bringing much, we can pay the price. You won't go to read courses, not because you love the courses. Look at the future. What says? What pays? Once it pays well, you choose to like it. You tell the boy, like it. You better like it now. Or hunger will wire you. I want the house together, please. So what? That thing is just there as the trigger point of our life. So all things are necessary for our sustenance is grouped among what is called bread. Bread. A king and be a champion. Terrain of bread. But if you live that way, there's sorrow for you. Let's go a little bit more today. We're looking at Adamic life. It's the Adamic life we're looking at. Okay, and check some things. We're just laying foundation for our thinking in. Say Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Let me read from verse. I think we have made so much progress in this chapter of the Bible. The first two chapters we have looked at that seriously. Chapter 3. Are we there? And they heard the voice of the Lord, verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Are you there? And I hid myself, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Amen. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, he didn't ask him. He asked, what did you do? And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. All cattle feed upon thy belly shalt thou go. And thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. He said to the serpent straight, curse above all cattle. And I don't want to ask you, did God curse cattle? Say, did God curse cattle? He didn't curse cattle. So why is he saying the serpent, you are cursed above the cattle? The cattle was cursed actually. But not before, in his creation, it was cursed. To be a cattle, God made it like that. God made the cattle like that. He blessed man. And he gave man dominion over all cattle. And because he's dominated, he's under, he's cursed. So God did not say somewhere, cattle, I curse you. God put cattle in a place, a domain of curse. So curse is not what is placed on him, it's his habitation. Curse is his domain, where he lives in, where he dwells in, his curse. It's like he's made curse. But Christ was made a curse. God made Christ curse. For us, God did not curse him. He made him. So that was why when he died, he went to hell. That was his domain. What God made can't ascend. He has to go to hell. Because it's made curse. So because it's curse upon thy belly, so the only thing you are higher than is dust. Dust shall he eat. So the only dust. Hello with me tonight. Now, there's something in God's mind when he made man. I said, let us make man. And Bible says, and God blessed them. God blessed them. God blessed them to be blessed. To be blessed. You don't know what of blessedness. So if a thing amass life, amass wealth in his belly, yet he's cursed. That's no blessing. But the Creator defines them the way they really are. Hello with me, please. The one who made them, class them, rank them, and say a man is blessed, something else is cursed. And let's go on. And I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Praise God. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of this of it, cause is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And that cause is redemptive cause. God put the cause to save him. Because if the land is not cursed, he will dwell there. And he dwells there, somebody has been caused to dwell there and to master that terrain. You understand what I'm saying? Are you alive here tonight? So God has to place a redemptive cause. He caused them, okay, it's redemptive. So if you dwell there, you will never be okay. You will never, of course it, you won't be okay. God is great. God is powerful. God is all wise God. All wise God. This morning, this one was just coming to my mind. God in a hell. God in a wire. God in a hell. God in a wire. Nobody be like him. Nobody day like him. Yeah, one name. So just coming on my heart away. Just what's coming on. Just reverberating to my heart. You want to see this more?
God in our way. God in our way. Nobody be like us. Nobody be like us.
Yeah,
one name. God in
nobody be like us. Nobody be like
us. Nobody be like us.
So if man decides to take the habitation of breadwinner, he will never, never know blessing. It will never be okay with him. God will rest on the earth systems that will make it not work. Yes. No government will be able to solve the problem. Yes. Because that problem is against his cause. In a place like the UK, what they do is that once a woman has no husband, they take care of the woman and the child. So over there, when they discover that they have a man who is not winning bread, as long as he stays as the husband, the government will not help. So divorce is this. That's why you see divorce all around over there. I went in the house, please. So divorce is being helped by a system. The system is helping divorce. But he thinks he lost man. He didn't know that that habitation has been cursed. So you see, women will decide to send away their husband. Because if you are not useful in this house, they come and help me. So it does not matter how much man, how skillful man is, how wise man is, if he wants to dwell in that terrain, it has been cursed. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days, not some days, all the days of thy life. Live in the U.S. all the days of thy life. You will get one, you will lose money. You get more money, you will lose some other things. Now, sometimes some problem comes on the earth. Christians keep warning me. Ha! Ha! Yes. They won't know if it's God who allow it. So salvation could be achieved. Because that system has kept man bound for many years, yet man is glorying in his bondage. So he can be glorying in debt, can be glorying in bondage, can be glorying what is going to destroy your children's children. If it's not in line with God's thought, God's plan, God's purpose, you just find out you cannot really guarantee security. Praise God. Hello here. Are you here? Let's go on to the next verse. Tongues also and thirsts shall they bring forth today, and that shall eat the herb of the field. Now let me ask you something. If they say tongues and thirsts, don't people get into this domain in life and really make money? No. They do make money. They make gain by trading on the earth and by its wisdom. Are we right? Yeah, and you can see this is the gain. But when you look at the gain, God says this gain you get in is going to bring you pain. You know, the gain that gives you sorrow and pain, because it's not designed to give you the utmost comfort. It's only God that can satisfy. You know, in the Garden of Eden, I told you something, in that garden, one thing God gave there to them as blessing, when he blessed them, was the tree of life. The fact that man can make progress, is blessing. Progress is blessing. If you are stagnated in a place, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You are not in that place. You are not there, but I go to prepare a place for you. When I come, I will take you from where you are to where I am. Where I am, you will also be. So the blessing is that he can take you from where you were. So cause is where you can be taken. When you are locked up in the domain, you are cursed. Even if you are maximizing that domain, you are cursed. So when they say, break the curses, you can't break this curse. You can't break this curse because you don't know about this curse. This curse is older than your forefathers. The curse is that when God spoke to them, the next thing is to send them out. That is the effect of the curse. That they are outside. There's no more access. So the curse is that nowhere in anymore. So man lived all his life, the past of his life, he lived it on a curse. So he can have all the money and be cursed. So when you hear that, godliness with contentment is not godliness, it's godliness. This is training for godliness. It gives you gain. You are contented with godliness. Hallelujah. Can you see? It's a gain. It gives you life. It gives you power. It gives you peace. It gives you righteousness. It gives you what money can buy. So people wonder, you don't have all the money, but you are okay. Why are you okay? You have what money can buy. Money is powerful. Money is strong. But I tell you, there's a defense stronger than money. Wisdom is a defense. Wisdom has the power to give life to those who have it. So, are you tracing what it's got cost now? Now, let's look at this. God spoke to Abraham. He said, get out of the house. Get out of your father's house. Go to a land that I will show thee. And Abraham believed God, and he stepped out. And he was going to a land that God will show. He was making movement. And God blessed Abraham. Can you see? God blessed Abraham. So for a man to be able to walk and take step in the spirit, believe God, it's a blessing. God says, something about the fear of man has been caused from walking. He has been caused not to be able to walk in life. He can't walk towards God. God said, no man cometh to the Father. So I came to bring men to walk to the Father. Because there is something in that place where anybody who carries that burden upon his life can never walk. That burden, that ship, that code. Once a man carries it, he can't walk. He can't make progress. He's afraid of tomorrow. He's afraid of his shadow. Let me tell you, for many of us that preach the word of life, God has always practiced it in our life. One way or the other. When I got married, I tell you that if I tell my wife how much I have, maybe she would think, I know in a way God has also helped her. She doesn't think about money. Not many women can be like that. Amen. Hello. I tell you, she has that grace. If she's going out, she doesn't remember money. I'm not sure there's money in this place today. But she has some 500 in this place. It's an unusual nature. Because one thing about women is that What are we going to eat and whatever? It writes, it goes through their system. If I tell you how much I was earning a month, you won't believe that. Okay? Now God had to do all of that. Today I hear a pastor says, you want to get money? How much do you have in your account? Ask him, sir, when you got money, how much do you have? Now you use Ford, you use Jeep. When you got married, then, sir. Even Bishop will ask him, how much do you have? Nothing. So now they will ask you, boy, are you hardworking? Say, yes, sir. Are you ready? Yes, sir. How much do you have in your account? They want to terrorize you, make you feel inferior. Are we in the house this? Tell them, sir, if I lose my job next month, what will happen? Is that not what is bringing the money? If I lose my job next month, what will happen? Are we going to start again and go back to where we were before? Divorce and go back? Because the guarantee you are showing me is that I can provide. You are not looking at what I am, what who I am. You're not looking at what, how much this man has gone through in terms of building himself. And God has always done it that whatever I had, I will stay. I won't buy it with my money. I was getting married and my father-in-law gave us fridge. Fire came to the house and burned the fridge. I'm telling you, I am learning that I'm learning the hard way. That nothing comes from natural ways to help me, actually help me. Everything in that place got burnt. All the gift they gave me got burnt. So if you're going to help me, you need to pray first. Will I help him? I mean, it doesn't come by natural means, natural advantage of natural connection. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It is those people who I don't know, those who are Christians, whatever, yeah, who does things that help me and make a meaning. Once it's from my family, there will be a question mark. Heaven will just put it there. I said, is it wrong to just get connected to your natural life? No, it's not going to work for you. Because the blessing you carry must not be traced back there. Amen. There are people who have parents, my own half house. We get the money for the rent. You know that they come here and we share for everybody. I don't have access to a dime there, but I can collect and share for them. Is that a cost? No, it's not like a cost. But God brings the blessing in other ways. Are we in the house together, please? Am I with you? So I was speaking of Abraham. Oh, let's just, time is flying like anything. Lord Jesus. Okay, let's just go a little today. We connect tomorrow, okay? Are you being blessed? Are you sure? God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. But Abraham did not understand blessing. And you know, Abraham began to get to the natural, gold, silver, all of that. And to him, that looked like a blessing. It looked like it. You know, if they say, Abraham's blessing, am I? What's thinking? No, when God blessed Abraham, if he's not able to make progress in the spirit, he's a cursed man. But there's something in God's mind that is called blessing to Abraham. You know that? They have to help our evaluation, understanding of true blessedness, understand that some limitations in our life are causes, though they look to us as if we're making progress. They said to Abraham, Abraham, you are cursed in your past. Not because you were barren. You know, people teach and say Abraham was barren, so he was cursed because he was barren. No. Abraham was not poor before God met him. I think you know that. Abraham convinced his father, took his father, and his father followed him. Took his father, took Lot, and they went on a journey, and his wife. And he went with cattle. He was not a poor man. I don't want to teach prosperity. They attach it to all of that to show how God blessed Abraham. No. He didn't bless Abraham with that. Though he had much more later on, he grew. The man grew. He had them before. He had them before and increased in them. Yet, he does not interpret to God blessing Abraham. God had to train Abraham into how to step into a real blessing. And God had to use a man like Paul to teach us what's called Abraham's blessing. Because I'm going to bless you. I'll bless thy seed. And through your seed, the whole family of the earth will be blessed. He knows that if Abraham can't step into the seed, he's not blessed. That's why God had to corner Abraham from all the side. Or he can bring forth a son in the promised land to give a signal that Abraham has age enough to step into the blessing. Though Isaac knows it's not a blessing, but Isaac stands as a symbol. God is a child of promise. And the blessing, which is true blessing, we call by promise of faith. So you need faith, real faith, not just faith to get something. Faith to inherit the promise, to get the blessing. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So as long as Abraham can't step into that arena, he's cursed. He's cursed not because he doesn't have silver and gold. He's cursed because he doesn't have access into the next phase of life. God says, access is needed into a sphere where God commands the blessing. In the book of Galatians, let's read somewhere there and find a place to round up tonight. Praise God. Galatians chapter 3. So God was speaking to Abraham about the seed. Let me read from verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. You know, the law was given to bring Israel a blessing. And God said, blessed are those, they are blessed if they can hearken diligently to obey all the law. Because in obeying all the law, they will step into the true promise. As long as they cannot obey all the law and not step in the promise, they are cursed. But you know that many of them who are Jews experience natural blessing. You know that? Up to today, the Jewish people on the earth here are a different race in terms of natural prosperity. But they are still cursed, not because they have prosperity. They have thorns in their life. They are behind nearly all the inventions in science across the whole earth. They are wealthy. They are rich. When they announce for them the freedom to have a state, to have their own nation, from all the nations of the earth here, they amassed money together and built Jerusalem, built Israel. Israel today is one of the strongest nations in economy, in defense, in security. Small nation, yet nations can't root them out. They are one of the best, most sophisticated weapons on the earth here. They built that with natural wealth. Wealth of money, wealth of the mind. Wealth, they are wealthy. They are wealthy. They have substance in their soul. Yet they are cursed. Why are they cursed? How are they cursed? They have no access to the blessings of Abraham. For the blessings of Abraham transcend natural order. When God saw Abraham and blessed him, because Abraham had faith into the promise, and the promise ensured that he can go beyond the law into Christ. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness for those who believe. You understand what I'm saying? So you can, I'm just saying, you can be wealthy and be cursed. You can be a Christian and be cursed. Yeah. If you are locked up in the domain, you are looking at me all up to Romans 8. For there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh. It's not for everyone who is in Christ. Those who walk after the condemnation is a curse. It's the limitation. So you can be a Christian and you are headbound into the domain of a bread. All your ego, all your fulfillment, all your attainment. What is if you have a family built around about that? Who prays you? Champion. When you conquer the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. It's those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Something makes them to have no condemnation. So, what condemns them in the law? Because they are shut under the law. And it's in Galatians. Let's go there. Let's see. The law was their schoolmaster, but they were shut under. Now you are shut, people that you are head bound to. What should promote them? Held them down. Are you there? Galatians. So let me read chapter 3, verse 22, but the scripture had concluded on the sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Are you there? But before faith came, we were what? Kept under the law, shut up unto the faith. We should have the word be revealed. So whatever shut them down is the cause. Hallelujah. He said that in previous verses. I'm just finding a way to run up tonight. So we can have more space tomorrow. Chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. So what does faith provide them? Faith provides them the power for progress. Can you see that? That's why it's the faith of the Son of God. It's not just faith to get something. It's the faith to make progress. The faith to walk with God. The faith to access grace. They access grace by faith. So the law is not of faith, but the man that dwelt them shall live in them. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from where? because of the law. But the law was a blessing. In Deuteronomy, God said, if you act in believing, I'm going to bless you. You are blessed. But he said, because of the law, God, the law actually was meant to upgrade them, like we heard, to have access to another bread. At least if they can move from the bread of men to the bread of angels, it's an upgrading. It's an exhortation. It's a may of blessing. But they could only walk in that for 40 years. They could only walk because of Moses' provision. They're not walking in the law of that bread. Their life is not corresponding. It was because of Moses that the bread came. They needed to walk in that law to keep the bread. Because they ought to eat the bread all their life in the promised land. But as they stepped into the land of promise, the manna ceased. Why did they cease? In the land, they should eat the corn of angels, not just the bread. They should eat the corn. But they ate corn of the land. Because they didn't walk in the law of the bread. You know what I'm saying? The bread should also have taught them. That's why I said, manna, what is this? They didn't know the bread. Because if they have known the bread, it's not be manna anymore. Manna means, what is this? What is this? What is this? For 40 years, it is, what is this? What is this? What is this? Something meant to upgrade them, they are still asking for 40 years, what is this? Some people hear the bread of life, they say, what is this bread of life? New bread of God, what is this bread of eternal life? What is this eternal life? For 40 years, you are still asking. The very promise of your life, you are asking, what is this life? For some, it's still lingua. They can't enter into the real reality of the life. I assure you, this season, access is being granted. I tell you, access. Why? We are under the blessing. We are under a blessing. That's God. God is posting the lie. That lie in our heart that put our trust in this bread. We trust this thing too much. We confess otherwise, but we live by the reality. You live by that reality. It moves us. It stirs us. It drives us. Because of the law should go. That's why Christ came. Christ came and has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Last verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on all the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive. Come on, say that we might receive. I can't hear you. Come on, say it again. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So what's the blessing? The promise of the Spirit. If they don't have no access to the Spirit, they are cursed. They are cursed. So if Israel live their life and they enjoy the Spirit, they are cursed. Because the Spirit is the vehicle of their access. It's what takes them from one level to another level. It guarantees progress. I said to you tonight, progress is given to you. Wow. Yeah, no. Can you see? When you live by the force of the life, higher, the beloved life, obey you. He said to the serpent, the only thing remaining for you is dust. It's dust. You will command dust. So he has power over dust. When you remain dust, he has power over you. Because that bread was given to him to rule over dust. But when you arise beyond dust, you are above him. You rule over him. You dominate him. You tell him what life should be like. And he has no power over your life. That's why those who have no condemnation, they are those who walk in the Spirit. They walk after the Spirit. They walk no more after the course of the natural. Esteems of men does not drive them. Values and praise of men does not drive them. A new reality. Truth is the driving force. What is their nativity is their driving force. Lord, we thank you tonight. We bless for them tonight. We appreciate you tonight. For mercy came to us to change our estate. We're not treading this estate. We are men called to live by another force of life. Force of life. Force of life. The forest is heated strongly against us. To make the fourth man appear. Jesus, tonight we pray and trust in you, Father, that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law. You have redeemed us from the curse of the earth, from the curse of Adam, from the curse of our fathers. We're walking out of the curse. We're walking out of the curse because a pathway has been opened to us. We can enjoy the promise of the Spirit. We can enjoy the promise of the Spirit. When you have the Spirit, you have liberty. You have a taste to move to the next phase of life. You don't know what is the value of the Holy Ghost that came to you. It's to change your economy, to change your abiding place, to change your house, to change your house. When your house is changed, your transaction of life is changed, your economy is changed. Death is changed to life. Condemnation is changed to liberty. Thank you, Father. We bless you tonight. We give all the praise and glory to you tonight. We want to appreciate you. For you are changing our psyche. You are changing our reasoning. You are changing our perception. You are changing our value. You are tampering with us. You are breaking the code of death that has been set in us over the ages. Those vain conversations and lies that we inherited from our fathers, you are breaking them. You are raising a new value system. We thank you, mighty Father. We bless you tonight. We believe it is true. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that you are bigger than what you are seeing. And your future is bigger than what you are seeing now. Can you see Nigeria economy now? Your life is bigger. Your future is bigger than Nigeria economy. But this economy can stop your progress in life. If you look at it, if you walk in it, it can stagnate your reasoning. It's put there as a law of limitation against you. That's why there's need for God to dislocate you from that system of reasoning and bring you in there where you can see life the way life really is. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. You are true. You are the just one. You are the righteous one. I believe in you, Lord. You are true. Let all men be liars. Let God alone be true. Let God alone be true. God is true. God is true. The Son of God is true. Oh, it's true. It's true. We believe you, Lord Jesus. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Spirit, those things which Jesus
reveals, which Jesus speaks about, which Jesus alone can unveil. The things we have heard, only Jesus unveils them. They are not within the realm where man can assess. They are not within the realm of thoughts of man. Yeah, we believe in these realities. These are true. True sayings of God. True sayings of God. The true sayings of God, that the things that pertain to the removal of the veils and the curses that are on the earth in this time, because it is spoken in the word, it said, and the curse shall be no more. The curse shall be no more. The last thing God is taking away from the earth is curse. The curse of the veils of darkness, veils of lie. Yeah, that's the effect of the river of life. When the river flows from the altar, it comes with healings for the souls. Comes with healings for the souls. Comes with healing and redemption for the souls. And curses are taken away. Oh, we thank you tonight. We bless your name. We appreciate you. We give thanks and praise you, my Father. We bless you, my Father. We bless you for the things that you begin to do in the days we are in tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you tonight. Thank you for tomorrow. Thank you for the meeting. And tomorrow evening and Sunday morning, thank you, Lord. But what I began at this time, you're going to finish there with us. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise tonight. We appreciate your mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We say amen. We say amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand.
We believe you have heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the word that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us on any of our meetings? You can join us for Lively Friends and Partners Forum every first and third Saturday of every month by 8 a.m., on Wednesdays by 5 p.m., and Sundays by 8 a.m., all at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road, Ondo. For more information, please call 0703-895-5483. Or 0803-850-6491. Or you contact us at livemanifestation@yahoo.com. Remain blessed.